here today to discuss intensive developments in maritime finance from a legal perspective. With a focus on financiers and shipowners, I'll cover key areas such as green and sustainable finance, the impact of Basel IV, and recent EU legislation on tonnage tax and EU flag registration requirements. Now let's dive right in. The maritime industry is at the intersection of significant global changes shaped by increasing environmental regulations, financial reforms, and legislative developments. Today, we'll explore how these trends affect financing decisions, particularly from a legal perspective, and provide insights for both financiers and shipowners to navigate these changes effectively. Let's begin with green and sustainable finance, which has become a central theme in maritime funding. This approach emphasizes investments in environmentally friendly projects aligning with sustainability goals. It's no longer just about business. It's also about responsibility and regulatory compliance. With ever-increasing public and regulatory scrutiny being led in Europe by the EU's Green Deal and Sustainable Finance Package, it is essential that all participants across the financing ecosystem understand and start to engage with financing products that can help drive the transition to a more sustainable economy. We should, however, be mindful of the difference between green financing and sustainability-led financing products. Green finance products are used to support specific eligible green projects. The proceeds of funds are tied to specific purpose in delivering environmental benefits. Sustainable-led finance products, on the other hand, are intended to incentivize better corporate, environmental, and sustainable performance. Proceeds are not necessarily tied to a specific project, but instead to the borrower's performance against the great sustainability performance in the ecosystem. So in summary, green products tend to link loan utilization requirements to a specific project, whereas sustainability products tie cost of funding to more general and independently monitor ESG performance. The general feeling in the market is that sustainability-led products will have more traction than project-specific green loans. Now let's explore the main characteristics of green loans. Green loans are purpose-driven, allocated to projects that have a direct environmental benefit, such as energy-efficient vessels or renewable energy solutions for shipping. These loans are governed by legal frameworks like the Loan Market Association's Green Loan Principles, ensuring transparency and accountability in how the funds are used. The legal emphasis here is on proper documentation and adherence to green standards in order to secure the financing. Creating standard drafting in a quickly evolving private market is inherently challenging. Although assumptions made in preparing the green loan draft provisions may not apply to all transactions, having standard drafting available as a starting point for negotiations benefits the market overall. It is expected that some market participants, such as the financiers or the shipowners, will have varying positions on certain topics, but using a common format and terminology should assist the market collectively. Unlike green loans, sustainability-linked loans offer flexibility in how the funds are used, but are tied to specific performance metrics, known as Sustainability Performance Indicators or SPIs, to motivate the borrowers to become greener. For example, borrowers might agree to reduce their fleet's carbon emissions by a set percentage. If they succeed, they benefit from favorable terms, such as lower interest rates. From a legal standpoint, it's crucial to ensure that these metrics are clearly defined and independently verified. Sustainability-linked loans are generally attractive to investment-grade borrowers who do not operate in the green sector and who do not have a specific need for financing green projects, but who want to introduce sustainability targets and policies into their business. They are also a good option for SMEs who do not have the resources to invest in green projects. So to reiterate, the emphasis is on ESG performance and alignment of these with targets achieved through the operation of a particular business. Now, before we turn into more detail to the next topic, it is also very important to properly understand the concept of ESG. It is the basis of green and sustainable finance, and it is also the concept that is relevant to the drafting of certain types of sustainable finance. In a corporate context, ESG can very broadly be explained by reference to this slide. Starting with the first letter E, what impact does a corporate entity have on the environment? Environmental considerations may include climate change mitigation as well as the environment more broadly. For instance, the preservation of biodiversity and natural resources, preventing pollution, and so on. S. How does a company improve its social impact? Social considerations could include issues of equality, labor relations, human rights issues, etc. It even extends to how a company supports and advocates for social change and good in the wider world beyond its business. And lastly, G, how does a company's governance drive a positive change? Governance includes everything from issues surrounding pay to diversity in leadership, as well as how well that leadership responds to and interacts with its shareholders. And the role of governance itself obviously plays a fundamental role in ensuring the inclusion of social and environmental considerations in the decision-making process. Now, some examples from recent ship finance transactions on sustainability-linked loans include loans to finance LPGs that will lower the company's carbon footprint, loans to finance LNGs that will produce lower gas emissions, eliminate CO2 emissions, and reduce NOx emissions, loans with sustainable development goals to reduce the use of onshore sourced freshwater supplies and consumption on the vessels. The pricing is linked to the carbon efficiency of the fleet to ensure it aligns with the IMO's target of net zero greenhouse gas emissions from international shipping by 2050, or compliance with the Poseidon principles or the ESG targets. Now let's talk about Basel IV. This regulatory framework introduces stricter capital requirements for banks relating to credit risk, credit valuation adjustment risk, and operation risk, which has a direct impact on shipping finance. For example, lenders may reassess risk profiles such as the residual value of the vessel, the owner's reputation, the chartering arrangements and counterparty risks, and the quality of the technical and the commercial management, which may lead to increased costs for borrowers or more stringent loan terms. Small and medium-sized shipping companies may likely be the most affected by Basel IV, as they have traditionally been very reliant on bank debt. These changes also come at a time when their need for capital is increasing due to decarbonization targets they can only meet if they invest in vessels with sustainable fuels such as low-emission methanol and ammonia and energy-efficient technologies such as wind propulsion. In addition, around 15,000 ships are expected to reach the end of their economic life in the next 10 years and will need to be replaced by newly financed ships. Legal teams must evaluate the loan agreements to ensure compliance with these evolving standards, while borrowers must prepare for enhanced scrutiny and for potential collateral adjustments. Moving on to the next topic, one of the most significant legal changes is the new EU legislation requiring shipping companies to register vessels under an EU flag to qualify for reduced tonnage tax rates. The legislation aims to strengthen the EU maritime sector by encouraging companies to bring their vessels under EU registries. However, this change may present challenges for shipowners accustomed to operating under non-EU flags, requiring careful cost-benefit analysis and legal guidance. Let's consider the legislation's impact on shipping companies which traditionally rely on diverse flag registrations. The reduction in EU flag vessels has made it critical for these companies to reflag under EU registries if they want to maintain preferential tax treatment and tonnage tax benefits. Non-compliance may lead to loss of preferential tax treatment, and companies' excess non-European tonnage will no longer be eligible for the preferential tonnage tax regime that taxes shipowners at rates far below the general corporate rates. The process of reflagging isn't just logistical. It involves complex legal and operational challenges that must be navigated carefully to avoid disruptions. More recently, we have observed in our transactions that several shipowners whose vessels were initially flagged under the flags of Panama, Liberia, or Marshall Islands have proceeded to reflag their vessels to an EU flag such as that of Cyprus. In summary, the maritime finance landscape is evolving rapidly due to environmental priorities, regulatory reforms, and legislative changes. Green and sustainable finance provides opportunities to align with global goals. Basel IV imposes new lending challenges, and EU rules require strategic adjustments in flag registrations. By staying informed and seeking expert legal advice from ourselves, financiers and shipowners can position themselves effectively in this changing environment. Well, that concludes my presentation. I hope you have found it insightful. I'd be happy to take any questions or discuss any of these issues further with you at the networking lunch. Thank you very much for your attention.